What a gift it is to be together this evening. For Father RJ, Deacon Stephen, and me to be with the beloved people of St. Peter's. Indeed, a year ago, at this time, we were not able to share together in this liturgy. And so to recognize the beauty and the gift of the Triduum takes on a particular relevance this year. And we're invited this evening to think in a special way about the institution of the Eucharist and why the Eucharist is at the very heart of how we live our lives. Indeed, Vatican II said that the Eucharist is both the source and the summit of our lives as Catholic Christians. As I was thinking about the Eucharist, I was drawn to a verse in the Catechism, and I'd like to use this particular paragraph to unfold my homily this evening. It's paragraph 1323. In the first part of that paragraph, the Catechism says, "At the Last Supper, on the night he was betrayed." I've been reflecting a lot on that this week, thinking of what happened to our Lord. Consider Palm Sunday. The crowds are cheering Hosanna to the Son of David as they welcome him into the city of Jerusalem. But many in that Sunday crowd are in the Friday crowd, and now they are giving him the verdict, crucify him, crucify him. Think of the particular friendship Jesus had with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who days before had been raised from the dead. On the Monday of Holy Week, after he had turned over the table of the money changers in the temple, we're told that he went out to Bethany to spend that night with these dear friends. Imagine what the Lord must have been thinking, what he must have been praying, and what comfort it must have been for him to be in the company of those who loved him so. And then he knew that the Passover Seder, this meal that the Jewish people had been celebrating for centuries, was to take on a particular meaning on the Thursday evening. And so he finds that large upper room, and then he directs the apostles to make it ready. Now think about this meal with me for a moment. As I said, this is the meal that the Jewish people, as we heard in that first reading, were to keep as a perpetual memorial. But here's a point you might not know. We read in the book of 2 Kings that one of the last of the great kings of Judah was a king by the name of Josiah. His father was a man named Manasseh. Manasseh had been king for 50 years, and he was a terrible king. He was a godless king. And during the time that Manasseh was king, all of the Canaanite gods were worshipped in the Jerusalem temple. Josiah, the godly king, wanted to rid the temple of all of this idolatry. And as they were bringing about the restoration to the temple, they actually found the book of Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, they recognized that they were to keep the Passover. The Passover had not actually been kept in the way it was supposed to for hundreds of years. And so under this king, Josiah, they reestablished the Passover. And now on this night that he was to be betrayed, Jesus is going to bring every Passover to its culmination. But think about it. This meal of such intimacy was also a meal that would be filled with painful anguish. Judas had already set the price of the infamous sale. Peter was about to deny his master, and all except for the beloved John would run away in fear. And on Good Friday, John would be the only apostle at the cross. So on that night when she was betrayed, the Catechism goes on to say, our Savior instituted the Eucharistic sacrifice of his body and blood. St. Paul, in the reading from Corinthians, speaks about this institution of the body and blood of Christ. And when we think about the Eucharist, think about it this way. The Eucharist is Jesus's answer to the treachery of human beings. The Eucharist is the greatest gift of his infinite love in return for our blackest ingratitude. The merciful God would pursue his rebellious children, not with a threat, but with the most delicate love, his immense charity. And in the Eucharist, this is what the Lord has instituted, an understanding that this sacrifice, which was established on that Holy Thursday, has continued for 2,000 years. Returning to the Catechism, it writes, this he did in order to perpetuate the sacrifice of the cross throughout the ages until he should come again. And that is the remarkable thing about the Mass, that here at every Mass we have represented to us Calvary. Every Mass we are actually in the upper room. Every Mass we are participating in that event that Jesus said on the cross is finished, our salvation. And so whenever we gather for the Eucharist, we remember this profound truth that here Jesus feeds us with his own flesh and blood. And even though in a couple of hours from that first Eucharist, the cross will claim his body, the Eucharist will perpetuate his real living presence until the end of time. St. Catherine of Siena had a particular love for the Eucharist. She was given this supernatural capacity. I can't remember how many years it was, but for a number of years, the only food she ate was the Eucharist. And she was sustained by the Eucharist. And listen to what she said. She wrote, oh, you who are mad about your creature, true God and true man, you have left yourself wholly to us as food, so that we will not fall into weariness during our pilgrimage in this life. And isn't it true, beloved, especially in this last year of COVID, we have been weary? And how the Eucharist has sustained us in a most special way. St. Catherine goes on to say, by the Eucharist, we will be fortified by you, our celestial nourishment. And that is the beauty of the Mass. And for Father RJ and for me as priests, to be given the privilege to be able to represent, to make Jesus present to you, to share with our beloved deacons like Deacon Stephen and Deacon Tom, in the fullness of the liturgy, is the greatest gift that we have been given that we in turn can share with you. The Catechism goes on to put the words of St. Catherine in this particular way. You have entrusted the Eucharist to your beloved spouse, the Church, as a memorial of your death and resurrection. The Triduum happened once in history, and every year we remember it in this most intentional way. But as I thought about this some more, I appreciated how in every Eucharistic sacrifice, we are entering into the reality of what Jesus has done for us. And think about it this way. On Holy Thursday, at the time when human sinfulness, human cruelty, and human calculation was about to enact the most violent crime in history, deicide, the death of God, God was enacting his most benevolent gift, our deification. What does that mean? It means to share in the divine life of God. So while the world was committing deicide, God was offering to you and me our deification. I want to invite you in a very special way on this evening, as we have gathered together to hear what the Catechism says at the end of that paragraph. The Eucharist is a sacrament of love, a sign of unity, a bond of charity, a paschal banquet in which Christ is consumed, the mind is filled with grace, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. Can it get better than this? In a few minutes, Father RJ, as Christ's minister and I assisting him, will renew once again the great miracle that changes bread and wine into his body and blood. He will say to you, as he said to those gathered at the first Mass, take and eat, take and drink. And let me end with this thought and then a prayer. Remember that Jesus himself was the one who made the preparations in terms of the plan as to where the Eucharist was to be celebrated. And we're told that he chose a large room, and he therefore directed his disciples to prepare it suitably. It's my prayer for us that your heart and my heart will be dilated and made spacious by love, that we will also become ever more large cenacles where Jesus may come and worthily celebrate his paschal mystery. In other words, Holy Thursday is Jesus' invitation to you and to me to make room in our hearts for him. In thinking about this, Saint Augustine prayed in the following words: O Lord, Lord, how small and narrow is the house of my soul for you to enter. Enlarge it yourself. It is in ruins. Repair it. I know and admit that there are things in it that are offensive in your sight. But who will cleanse it? Or to whom but you shall I cry, purify me, Lord, from my hidden sins, and enlarge my heart so it may be a room made ready to receive your Eucharist.